chapter 8, please. Acts chapter 8. I'm going to read verse 26, 27, 28, 29, and verse 30. I'm going to read these four or five verses, but I'm going to talk about parts of the rest of the story as well. This is a very familiar story to you, to all of us. Any of us who's ever spent any time in the Scriptures are familiar with the occasion of when Philip led the Ethiopian eunuch to the Lord Jesus Christ on an old dusty road out there in the desert of the Middle East. And I want to extract from this narrative tonight a few simple principled points that I think any and all of us can take home and apply to ourselves. I want to begin in Acts chapter 8, verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, reading and read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. If I can just stop right there for a moment and offer you a commercial to this message, it would be this. That's how all mission work gets done efficiently and effectively. Go near and join thyself to that person. These guys that I've been talking to you about, 157 guys, they need your prayers, they need your finances, and they need to know that you're praying for them. It's not just enough to pray for them. They really need to know that. But I'm going to tell you what is the greatest of all blessings is for you to load up one weekend or one week of vacation, pack a bag, and go where they are, rub shoulders with them, get your knuckles dirty and your fingernails gritty and grimy, and work alongside them. The greatest mission work that's ever been done has been relying upon and has demanded of us dirty hands and gritty and grimy fingernails. I'm going to just tell you, ministry, and especially mission work ministry, is dirty work. You got to get in there. You got to get involved. You got to plug yourself in. You got to be engaged in this. But the beauty and the blessing and the bounty of that is there's nothing more wonderful to the missionary than you spending a few days blessing, encouraging, loving, and helping that missionary. You're going to come home and say, well, we didn't do a whole lot. That missionary is going to say when you left, that was the best week I had all year. Hands-on ministry. Get your knuckles dirty and your fingernails gritty and grimy. Ministry is the beauty of real ministry for the Lord Jesus Christ. Philip, none of this works with social distancing. You can't stand back here and shout way down there in hopes that all of it's going to happen. Amen. At some point, you have to put your hands on it. And Philip put his hands on the ministry. The angel of the Lord said, go near to him and join yourself to him. And Philip did exactly that. So verse number 30, and Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said unto him, Understandest thou what thou readest? Now we'll stop right there for the sake of time, but you know the rest of the story and what unfolds. And here's what I want you to hear tonight from the Word of God. Every once in a while, not every day, maybe not every week, maybe not every month, but every once in a while, God does for you what he does for that young boy that's been riding the pines all year long and gets stuck in the game at the last 2 minutes of the last game of the season. He makes a three-pointer and becomes a hero. And it was completely unintended, almost accidental, and if the coach had known what he was really doing, he might would have tried to avoid the whole situation. Every once in a while, a guy goes fishing for the first time all year and catches the biggest fish you'll catch the whole summer. Every once in a while, a newbie goes to a deer stand with his grandpa, and in that one freak moment, where Grandpa's been hunting all his life and all he's ever seen was a little bitty deer in the forest, the mega giant comes through, and this kid who's shaking in his boots happens to make an incredible, unbelievable shot, and the biggest buck in three counties hits the ground. You might call it beginner's luck. You may have heard someone say, even a blind squirrel finds an acorn every once in a while. But when it comes to stuff like this, these are called divine encounters. God brings someone into your lap, someone into your life. Someone intersects your life and your event, your life events. You weren't expecting it. You weren't planning for it. No one knew it was coming. And there they are. That's what happened to Philip. There he is, Philip. What you going to do with him? And Philip, by the way, ran. He jumped on the chariot, put his hands on the ministry, and he started right where the Ethiopian had been reading. And he said, can I tell you about what you're reading? Can I spend some time with you to explain to you what's going through your hands, what's sitting in your lap, and what's entering into your mind? Can I talk to you about what you need to know in your spirit and in your soul about this person of whom you read today? Listen, once in a while, maybe not every week, maybe not every month, but if you are sensitive to the will of God and sensitive to the way of God, and if you will entreat yourself to the things of God, listen, God will open up doors of opportunity. Amen. God will bring people into your life, and you will have divine encounters. Amen. God will give you the opportunity to be faithful to Him. Don't miss it. Yes. Don't miss it. Don't let those long, dusty roads pass you by, because there are chariots full of people. I've been seeing them the last 2 days in your city. Right. There are chariots full of people. Amen. Who need to know this Jesus of whom we speak. They are opportunities that God will give every one of you. So notice something about this man. In verse number 27, did you see that? Verse number 27, he was a man of Ethiopia, a man of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem to worship. He was a responsible man. He was a man of great influence. He was a man of great honor. He was a man of considerable importance. He was a man of great wealth. But none of those things made him a saved man. None of them. Being important doesn't make you saved. Being influential doesn't make you born again. Being a man of considerable importance doesn't make you a child of God. Being a man of great wealth does not store up anything for you in heaven. There was something amiss, something awry, something terribly wrong in this man's life. He was a lost man. Yeah, he was responsible, but he was lost. Yes, he was influential, but he was lost. He was honorable, but lost. He was important, but lost. He was wealthy, but lost. None of the things that made him important and responsible made him saved. Because every one of us, even those of us who are responsible and accountable to great authority, and maybe have great authority ourselves, we are still born just like this man, sinners, for all have sinned. Even Ethiopian eunuchs, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He was not only a responsible man. Did you notice in verse number 27, 28, 29, 30 that he was a religious man? Did you see that in verse number 27? He had gone to Jerusalem to do what? To worship. He was a religious man, evidenced by the fact that he's reading right here in Isaiah 53. We know this because it's later in the narrative. Was this man talking about himself, or was he talking about somebody else that was a sheep led as though it were dumb before his shears? Who's he talking about? Well, that is a direct quote from the narrative of Isaiah 53, one of the most evangelical passages of Scripture in all the Bible, and it's in the Old Testament. I maintain that Isaiah 53... 55, not that I'm skipping or downgrading 56, but in particular, Isaiah 53, Isaiah 55, and Isaiah 56 are three of the most evangelistic chapters in all the Bible. And none of them are in the New Testament. They are without a doubt some of the most encouraging passages in Scripture. And they're from the Old Testament narrative. He went to Jerusalem looking to worship, and all he found was ceremony. And it left him empty. He went to Jerusalem looking for spiritual food, and he left hungry, because there was nothing in religion to provide for him. He went to Jerusalem looking for spiritual water, but he comes out of there and he's still thirsty. He goes to Jerusalem looking for God, and all he found was religion. And there's a huge difference in knowing God and being a religious person. He was a religious man, but there was this huge hole in his heart. This vacuum, this vacancy, this void in his heart that only God could fill, and he'd not yet met him. He didn't yet know him. He was going to be introduced to him, but he hadn't yet found him. So many people today are searching for the way, the truth, and life. And the sad news is they're not finding it because a lot of Christians like you and me aren't revealing it to you. The Dalai Lama, he's a religious man. You remember that fella? You ever heard of him? He was asked one day, what is the biggest problem with Christianity? And the person asking the question thought surely they were going to get some profound response that they could use to butcher Christians and nail Christians to the wall and criticize and ridicule Christians and really be critical of Christianity. Oh, Dalai Lama, what is the number one problem with Christianity? You know what he said? Christians. And he was right. He was right. We know the way, the truth, and life. And there's a world around us who needs to know what we know. And when God drops them in our lap, what do? Right? Hey, I'm preaching to me. I know on Wednesday night I'm preaching to the choir, Brother Mix. But let's be honest. We miss golden opportunities because chariots are going by us every day and they're full of lost people and we just watch them go. We don't take the time and the opportunity given to us to share the message of Jesus Christ. But I want to share something else with you, a third thing. He was a responsible man. That didn't make him saved. And he was a religious man and he left Jerusalem empty. But the third thing I want you to see is in verse number 30, he was a receptive man. And somebody took the time to sit down and explain to him what was going across his lap, through his eyes, into his mind, and through his heart. And he was receptive to this message. I contend folks still are. They still are receptive. Look at verse number 30. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest what thou readest? Now, the rest of the story tells that part of which I refer. And he said, yeah, I understand. I would love to understand. Look at verse number 31. How can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place when the scriptures where he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before a shearer, so he opened not his mouth. That's Isaiah 53. In his humiliation, in his judgment, he was taken away. Who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. Verse number 34. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? And Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And let me tell you, you can do that too. You can do that too. Now, you're going to get bogged down in Revelation and Daniel. Because you know that's what all your coworkers want to talk about. And that's what everybody in the neighborhood wants to talk about. They want to talk about all the stuff that's, you know, way out there, deep, theological, mystical, mysterious stuff. Let me tell you, the best thing you can do is point them at John 3:16 and get there as fast as you can. Because what they need is not an understanding of John's revelation. What they need is an understanding of Jesus' salvation. That's what they need. And from there you can build. And in time, the revelation will be a subject that both of you can engage and encounter, and it'll make more sense to you. I'm going to tell you, you think revelation is tough? You think revelation is hard? You ought to try to explain it to a lost person. Yes. First, introduce them to Jesus. And then we can talk about the revelation. Here was a man who was hungry for God's word. And let's see if this sounds right. He had the word of God in his lap and questions on his mind. Well, we live in that same society. There are Bibles galore where we live. Everybody and their brothers got more than one. You can go to the Family Dollar store, I'm sure, in Virginia, and buy them for $5 a piece. Folks got Bibles stacked up. They got some they keep in the car, some they keep in the bedroom, some they keep on the coffee table, some they keep at church. You know, they got to have a Bible everywhere they go, right? The point is this, the Word of God's available. It's available to any and all. And in the world in which you and I live here in this part of the world, it is accessible. But the message of the Word of God is the most important thing. And if we are just collecting books for the sake of a library, we're doing nobody any good. Because it is the content and the context of the Scripture that meets and makes the most difference. So look at this. Philip, verse number 35, opened his mouth, began at the same Scripture, and he began to preach Jesus. Verse 36, and as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" So Philip obviously had explained quite a lot to this man on this journey. And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Here's what we say down south. Enough said. Enough said. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now here's what I want you to see in this. God used Philip mightily. God used Philip intentionally. God used Philip deliberately. But God used an angel to get Philip's attention. Why didn't God just send the angel to the Ethiopian eunuch? You know why? Because God uses men and not angels to preach His word. See, the angels don't understand redemption. Jesus didn't die for the angels. Angels can't sing the song of redemption. You can. I can, we can, because we've been redeemed. I've been redeemed. I know the story of redemption. I know the song of redemption. I can sing that song. Angels can't sing that song. Listen, God uses men, not angels, to preach the message. And I'll tell you what else God uses. You ready? I'm leaving and I don't ever have to come back. If y'all don't like this, you can just tell your pastor tomorrow. I'll tell you what else God uses. God uses runners and not sitters. When Philip got that word from the angel, what did he do? He ran thither and attached himself to that chariot where that man was. I know me better than any of you know me, and I know something about me that you don't know, but you may know this about you too. Sometimes I get a little lazy. And there are days I don't like to run, don't want to run, and get out of breath when I do. Now that I'm 56, I'm not built for running like I was when I was 15, 16. I'll just be honest with you. But God uses runners, not sitters. God uses men, not angels, to disseminate His message, the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So run, Christian, run. Run, church, run. Run, believer, run. Like Rhoda ran and told the folks inside that Peter was at the door. Y'all been praying for him. He's there. They couldn't believe it, but she ran nonetheless. Like Zacchaeus ran to the sycamore tree when the Lord was passing by. Like Philip ran to the Ethiopian eunuch. And like the father ran off the porch and met his son and laid a kiss on his face and put a hug around his neck and a robe on his back and shoes on his feet and a ring on his finger. Run, Christian, run. Run, church member, run. Because this age in which we're living is quickly coming to a close. Luke 21, 28 says, "Your redemption draweth nigh." Run. Run, because eternity is getting closer every day. Romans 13, 11 says, "Closer than when we first believed." Run, Christian, run. Run because the urgency of the salvation of lost people demands that today is the day of salvation. This is the appointed time, and we know not what tomorrow may hold. Run, Christian, run. Take this message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. I just got to ask you, how many chariots have you let pass you by today? How many will you jump on tomorrow? Attach yourself to, put your hands on it, and say, I'm not letting this one get by me. God will bring you opportunities that can be explained no other way except divine encounters. Run, Christian, run. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time and for the blessings that you give us tonight to spend a few minutes in your word. And I pray that tonight, in this very simple way, in this very simple message, you have challenged each of our hearts to be faithful. Lord, like Paul told the Colossians, whatever we do, help us, Lord, to do it heartily. To do it heartily. Put our heart into it. To be earnest and honest and sincere and committed and dedicated. Help us to be faithful to your cause. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, let's have a time of invitation, time of opportunity to pray. Where would you and I be had the person let our chariot pass us by? As the music plays. Our Heavenly Father, we love you, and I am thankful, Father, that the people in my life did not let my chariot proverbially pass by without saying something. Thank you, God, for the divine appointments I've had the privilege to be a part of. And Father, I look forward to tomorrow or even tonight, the divine appointments you'll bring in our lives. Father, as we look with our hearts and focus towards Sunday, we ask, God, that you would continue to speak to us from your word in our devotions. And Father, that through the time in the Word, you'll write it upon our hearts, and Holy Spirit, that you'll bring it to mind as we share it with people we work with and trade with and people we run into out and about. And Father, as we are faithful to give the Word, we look to you for the results, oh God. Thank you for the opportunity to just labor here in this part of your vineyard. Bless each and every person here tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, man. Look at this way. Listen.